When you find it, please stand for the reading of the Word. Luke chapter 24, if you found it, say amen. Praise the Lord. Today is May the 12th. Next Sunday is May the 19th, which is 7 days from May the 12th. May the 19th is the day of Pentecost, actually on our calendar. So we'll be celebrating that day next Sunday. Tonight I want to preach to you on 7 days to Pentecost. 7 days to Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 24, we'll begin reading in verse 46. This is about Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray with me if you will tonight. Lord, I love You and I praise You. Lord, I pray that You just come by, Lord, and breathe on us, God, tonight. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit breathe on us, God, in a mighty way. Oh, God, oh, Holy Ghost, breathe on us tonight, Lord. Rain down upon us, God. Pour out Your Spirit on us, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would just come in and calm the troubled waters on the hearts of these men and women who are struggling. God, I pray that, Lord, You would just come by and Lord, lift the heavy burden so they could be filled, God, with the Spirit, Lord, once again. Let My words be few and Yours many. Spirit of God, You are here tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Love You, Lord. And the church said amen. Praise God. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. 7 days to Pentecost. 7 days to Pentecost. You know, the word change to some people is kind of a dirty word. A lot of people despise the word change. They just, unless it's talking about money when you get change back, but you hate the word change. Really, it's not the word that people despise. It's the action behind the word. Some people just don't like change. Stuck in their ways. Some change is good. Some change is bad. And some people, they can't stand any type of change. They just don't like change. There's days when a baby won't cooperate with change, if you know what I mean. How many of you moms have ever been there before? Oh, man. You want to help these children, but they don't want you to change them, their diapers. And so they don't like the change. It can be an adventure on some days. Amen. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. One time I went with a man in our family who shall remain nameless to buy a new pair of shoes. And, sometimes the word new is associated with the word change. A lot of times change requires new things. But this man, he went to buy a new pair of shoes. He took forever to buy a new pair of shoes. When I buy a new pair of shoes, I go in, I find the one that's on sale, find the one that looks good, that'll be awesome, I'll take my size and get out of there. We went to this store. We sat there looking at two pairs of shoes for an hour. He would take one off and put one on and walk up the aisle, walk back down the aisle. He'd sit there and look at it. Take the shoe off, put the other one on, walk up the aisle. 37,000 times he walked. He had to walk 12 miles in that store. It was a new thing. It was something different, and it was difficult to process. Do I really want to buy these? I like my comfort zone. I like the way my other shoes feel. Do I really want these? Change is difficult for some people. New things are often scary things because we don't really know what's going to happen. The other day in our service, the Holy Ghost spoke through the gift of tongues and interpretation and promised that Broadway Assembly was going to be experiencing some new things. Some things would change. Some new things was on the horizon. And I imagine when some heard that, they were horrified. Oh man, what new thing is going to happen now at Broadway Assembly? What new thing? How can we handle this? I guess maybe because when the word new comes up, that means something old is about to become obsolete. If you like computers, you know that when you buy a computer today, it's probably going to be obsolete tomorrow. I mean, that's just how quickly things change and progress. New things. Things are changing and we often resist change. We don't like it. But change is so necessary in our lives sometimes. Can I hear an amen? Change of scenery, a change of vocation, whatever the case may be, a change of attitude. You know, one attribute of God that we need to realize we don't have to possess is His immutability. God doesn't change, but He changes us. He changes us. Okay? When we get saved, God begins a transformation within our hearts, and that moves to our conversation and our conduct. Amen? When we get saved, that transformation moves into our minds and into our mannerisms. It moves to our desires and to our dress. This is the change that God, He brings about when we become a new creature. That's positive change. Amen? Amen. And God promised us there's going to be some new things that are going to happen. We read in His Word, He will do a new thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited when God says He's going to do a new thing. Change is necessary to growth. Change is necessary to the individual becoming all that he or she can be in the Lord. Amen. Change is necessary for the church to be all that it's designed to be in Christ. And Jesus here, He's kind of explaining some things to the disciples, and He's very gracious in dealing with this subject, and He's preparing them for His ascension, and things are about to change in their lives in a huge way. The one that they look to for guidance and direction, and the one that they call the Son of God or the Son of Man, the one that they call Messiah and Rabbi and Teacher, the one that they know has risen from the dead, is about to ascend into heaven, never to come again until it's time for Him to take His church and His children home and the world comes to an end. So they don't know what new thing is about to happen, and Jesus begins to tell them something new is on the horizon. It's going to be something they've never seen before. They've never heard before. It'll be something new, something different. Change is coming. It was something that they'd endure without being able to walk in the steps of Jesus. And rather, they'd have to learn to walk by faith in the midst of change. And we know that this change that was about to happen would bring about conflict with the Jews and the non-Christians. And it brought about tough decisions and at times difficult circumstances. But it brought about times of rejoicing and glorious glimpses into the kingdom of God. It brought about thousands of souls getting on board with the new thing that God was doing in the earth. And it brought about such a change that we mark that day as the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost fell, and we celebrate that day because we are here at this church tonight due to that very new thing that God did when He established His church. Amen. A new thing was about to happen. And in order to cope with this change that would happen 7 days from now on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were promised a dynamic power. They were promised Holy Ghost power. Amen. They were promised a power that they did not know anything about. They did not know what to expect, but they were promised a power to cope and deal with the change. It comes to my mind when the Lord spake that night that He told us that there's going to be some new things happening and to lean on Him. Amen. Because sometimes change is hard. It is. It's very tiresome and gruesome and you got to work at it. Praise the Lord. But God gives us the power to deal with the change. Amen. That new season that's coming, we need the power of God. Amen. So we can jump into that thing. Praise the Lord. I'm ready. How about you? I'm ready. So this power that they were going to have to deal with this change and to cope with the change and to be involved in this new thing. First thing I want you to notice is that Jesus promised the power. Jesus promised the power. Luke 24 and 49, he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." The one thing I want to point out to you about that promised power is that that promised power was not of earth. Amen. It was a heavenly, divine power. Praise God. I said it was a heavenly, divine power. You know, earthly things are terrestrial things. They're things that you can touch, and they are always temporal things. They don't last forever. Earthly things fade away. They go away. And you know, there's laws in science that tell us the earth and the sun and all the things that it consists of are winding down to an end. It's losing power. It's losing energy. Now, something like that is happening to the earth because the earth is not going to be there forever. It's not eternal. You know, professional athletes in this country, they are quite often found working out in the gym, or they're lifting weights. They're taking steroids, etc. You know, trying to get bigger and better than their opponent. They're doing whatever they have to get more power. And when they get on the field or out on the court and they begin to play their sport, it's pretty quickly evident that their power is drained out of them. Because their power that they have put into their bodies by lifting weights and all of this, it's temporal. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. It fades away. Their power is manpower. I can wind up a clock in front of you. I can wind that thing up. You know those old time winding clocks that you have a key for and you wind it up there and that little pendulum spins back and forth. You know, those are pretty cool. But you know what? You can wind it up as tight as it's ever been wound up before, and eventually it's going to run out of power because it's man-made. It's terrestrial. But Jesus promised us that this power that was going to come, it would be a power that was farther reaching than any earthly power. Amen. It was a power that would come from on high. It would come from the throne of God. Praise the Lord. You know, we know it was a power from on high because in Acts chapter 2, we read about Peter. He's discerning that this power that they were experiencing was the same power that God had told would come way back in Joel chapter 2, more than 500 years before Pentecost fell for the first time. Praise God. This was a power that was sent down. Amen. It didn't have to be digged up through the earth. It didn't have to be conjured up in the mind. It didn't have to have gasoline or any type of fuel, but rather it came down from heaven. Praise the Lord. Never to erode away or to run down. It was a power. It was a power that would continue. Amen. Continue to blossom and continue to change the scenery of the world until the second coming of Christ. This promised power was from heaven. It was a divine power. The power was going to enable men and women to be a witness for the cause of the gospel. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now we've got to understand that this is the early church. All that they've been commanded to do was preach the gospel to every creature and to go and wait in Jerusalem until they were filled with this power. But when that power was going to fall, it was going to be a power that was going to give them a voice that had never been heard before. Praise God. It was going to be a voice that could change the scenery, turn the world upside down, and give them a power to witness for the cause of the gospel. Praise God. This power was one that would grant boldness and confidence to stand in the face of persecution and to continue in faith in the midst of the unknown. That's the kind of power that we need. The disciples, they had no clue, no idea about what to expect and how it would happen. I mean, this new era that was dawning upon them was just that. Brand new. Unique. Praise the Lord. They had no book to go on. They couldn't read the book of Acts like we can. Or the book of Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians. They couldn't go to an instruction manual. Nobody had ever experienced it before. They couldn't say, "How did you get the Holy Ghost?" This was something amazing and brand new. The change was promised and a new thing would begin, but the promised power that God had promised to them, the power of the Holy Ghost would be there to guide them and to empower them through the midst of this change. And they did all that they knew to do. And that is what Christ had commanded them to do, to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there till the power had fallen on them. Now, I don't know what kind of new thing God wants to do here at Broadway Assembly. I have no idea when God speaks to us in that way exactly what He means. I don't know. It's unknown to us. I don't know what kind of magnitude it's going to have in its effect. I don't know what kind of scale it's going to be on, if it's going to be something small or something big. But I do know that God told us to lean on Him, amen, for the power. Because we're going to need power. We're going to need Holy Ghost power. And God, He's telling you, He's telling me to prepare for something different. And He's going to give us the power to see it through. So the power is promised. Now I'm talking about 7 days till Pentecost. And so, you know, they were there for 10 days or so, I guess. And so we'll say 3 days have passed. What were the disciples doing this day of 7 days before Pentecost? Well, they were pleading for the power. Amen. They were pleading for the power. Jesus promised the power. And now these men were pleading for this power. Jesus said to them, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." In the next few verses in Luke chapter 24, they tell us that the disciples were doing a couple different things. One was they had returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And the second thing is they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were spending time in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Again in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells them again, "Wait for the promise of the Father." And we read in Acts chapter 1 verses 12 and 14. It says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, and where there abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all," what did they do? "Continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women." These people decided, 120 of them, decided that while they were waiting for the power that was going to come, they were going to pray for the power. Amen. They were going to seek for the power. They were going to strive for the power. 7 days to Pentecost, we would find them. We would find them in the upper room with their hands stretched high and their voices ringing loud. "God, would you pour out the promise? Lord, would you fill us with the power?" Praise the Lord. Now, if you went over to your boss, how many of you guys have a boss? Amen. I have a boss. You have a boss. We all have a boss. If you went over to your boss and said, "Boss, can I have my paycheck early this week?" You know, he might tell you, I mean, if you're lucky, he might tell you, I'll give it to you by the end of the day. Can you wait that long? You know what? You would be excited. Amen. You'd be like, "Woo, I get it early." Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, you wouldn't just stand there in that place where you asked him. You wouldn't be like, "Can I have my check? Yeah, I'll give it to you by the end of the day." You wouldn't stand there and wait like this. You know, you wouldn't do that. You would be so excited. You would be like, "Man, I'm going to go work twice as hard as I ever do. Because my boss is giving me my paycheck early. I'm going to show him that he's not making a mistake." You'd get back to work and work really, really hard and be diligent about your business, because you know that at the end of that day, your reward is going to be waiting for you. Now the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost power, it's not a paycheck that is earned. I understand that. It's a gift that is given, but it's only given to those who truly want it. Amen. Only those who really want something from God, who show their hunger by seeking for the power of God to fill their lives, are going to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to me. Peter could have said, you know, the promise is supposed to come while we're in Jerusalem. So I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to get me on a boat and I'm going to fish. I'm going to fish there. And I'm going to try to catch a fish if there is a place to fish in Jerusalem. I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and try some way to make some money until the power falls. And James and Andrew, they could have followed him and did the same thing. Well, we'll just fish and wait till all of a sudden we feel like we've got the power. Matthew, he could have said, "You know what, I'll go to Jerusalem too and I'll find myself an accountant job and I'll sit there and just count somebody's money and work in the treasury and just wait till I feel the power and I'll get up." But you know, that's what they could have done. The women could have said, "You know what, I'll go back to my home and I'll go clean the kitchen and I'll start making some preserves and I'll start doing this or that. I'll start taking care of this and that and working out the household." But all of Pharisees, all of those people who were present in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, you know what they decided to do? They said, we have seen this power that Jesus had. We saw the miracles that He possessed and that He performed. And He promised us that we could do greater works than that. So you know what? You know what, John? I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to go to that upper room where we had the Last Supper. And I'm just going to begin to thank God and praise God and worship God. And I'm going to just ask Him to pour out His Spirit like He promised us He would. I'm going to go wait in Jerusalem. But while I wait there, I'm going to worship. Amen. I'm going to pray and I'm going to praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, while we're waiting on the outpour of the power that God has promised to us, amen, we don't do so with our hands folded and sitting on the seat and being a bench warmer. Rather, we're found seeking the face of God in the altars, amen. We're found having a revival in our prayer closet, like Brother Jones preached about a couple Sundays ago. We're found pleading for the power of God. Hallelujah. Christ promised the power. The disciples pled for the power. And then God poured out the power. Praise God. 7 days to Pentecost. What are they doing? They're seeking for the power of God. They're seeking for something new. They're seeking for that strength that they need to get through. Praise God. They're seeking for that power that Jesus promised when He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They're seeking the face of God. They're longing. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They're breathing in the presence of the Lord. Amen. They're trying to get a hold of this new thing and grasp the idea of it. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to expect. But all they know is that God promised the power. And they said, you know what? We're going to be found waiting in the midst of His presence. Praise God for when the gates of heaven are opened up and that Spirit rains down. I don't want to be found sitting on my seat thinking about tomorrow or next week or the Thursday night softball game. I want to be found with my hands lifted high and my heart open wide and ready for that day of Pentecost to come again to my life. Amen. And fill me with the power. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. The pouring of the power. It said in Acts chapter 2, He said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You know why it fell? Because they waited before the promise of God, and they waited in prayer. Praise the Lord. You know why the Holy Ghost will fall in your life and give you power to change the world around you? Because you'll be found waiting in the altars with your hands lifted high and your heart open and saying, God, do whatever you have to do. Fill me with the power. Praise the Lord. I want the power, don't you? I want the Holy Ghost power. 7 days till Pentecost, they were found in the upper room. They were found in the upper room. But what effect did this outpour of the power of the Pentecostal experience have on their lives? Well, Peter began to preach on the day of Pentecost. And on that day of Pentecost, Peter, the man who had ran away from Jesus when Jesus was about to be crucified and had denied Him 3 times and even cursed a time or two, he began to stand up to his feet, filled with that Holy Ghost power. And he began to preach the gospel, praise the Lord, and tell the people who were around him, yes, I know we look funny and we sound funny and we're acting a little crazy because this is something new and you've never seen it before. But let me explain it to you like this. Jesus Christ was crucified by you and by you and by you and by you. He was crucified for your sins and He rose again and He is the one. If you'll call on Him, you can be saved and you can experience this promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know who was there in the upper room that day? It wasn't people who were religious Pharisees who had it all figured out, but rather it was men who were like you and me, common men who were used to being on the boat fishing or who were stealing people's money as a tax collector. It was women who had been demon possessed. It was maybe Lazarus and his two sisters. It was maybe blind Bartimaeus and maybe the demoniac from the Gadarene Mountains. Praise God. They were normal men, but men who had been touched and women who had been touched by the life of Christ. And they said, I want that power. Hallelujah.
And when the Holy Ghost came down on them, a new thing was started. What it was? It was the church that we are a part of today. And it was a new thing that continues to grow and continues to move forward. Amen. They were filled with the power to endure the afflictions of the gospel. They were filled with the power to see through that they would be a witness and a light in a nation and to a world that hadn't known who Jesus was. But they had lifted their hands. They had given their all. They had laid everything to the side. And they had been filled with the power of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Because 7 days before, they were found praying and seeking and longing and worshiping and praising and staying where they knew the power would fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's the new thing that God wants to do. If I had a whiteboard up here, I'd write in what it was. And it would be blank because I don't know. But I know that God wants to pour out the power into our lives. So when this new thing happens, we're all on board. Amen. And when this season comes, we're all a part of it. Nobody's descending this way or that way. We're actually all moving forward. Praise God. We're all giving it our all. Praise the Lord. Because we all need to be in this thing together. Praise God. We all need to be in this thing together. And we all need the power. The Pentecostal power. The Holy Ghost power. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Worship the Lord right now. Jesus, we love you. Lord, I long for your power, God. Hallelujah, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, come by right now, God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Sister Madeline, come to the piano if you will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the power. Thank you, Jesus, for the power. God may want to do new things in the lives of some of individuals here tonight. And maybe you're getting ready to embark on a new thing in your life. Let me tell you, tonight, you need to get a hold of the power of God. Let Him give you the strength to overcome any mountains that may stand in your way, any disappointments that may come. Because there's always a conflict involved when there's change. There's a little bit of pull that's going on. There is. The disciples, the conflict that they endured was persecution from the outside, grumblings from the inside. But they had been filled with the power of God. And they were able to roll with every punch. So the thing can move forward. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jesus, pour out your power. Jesus, pour out your power. Holy Ghost, come down on us right now, God. Praise the Lord. This is what I want to do right now. Pentecost Sunday is 7 days away. There's no reason why we can't experience a Pentecostal outpouring right now. Amen. But this is what I want us to do. If you are so willing to get involved in this thing that God is speaking about, you know, getting on board with the new thing that He's about to pour out, that new, whatever it is, I want you to begin to make your way to the front and pray for the power of God to just be poured out on all of us without measure. The power of God to be poured out on our youth, on our Sunday school department. The power of God to be poured out on our parents, on our grandparents, on our board members. The power of God to be poured out on our pastors. The power of God to be poured out on our families and in our homes. Amen. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There is a hunger.
Jesus, pour out your spirit, God. We need you, Lord. Pour it out tonight, God. Pour out your spirit upon us, Jesus, pour out your spirit, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we're hungry for more of you, Jesus. We're hungry for more of you, God. We want the power of the Holy Ghost to be in our lives. We want the power of Pentecost, Lord. Pour it out, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Pour it on out, God. Pour it on down. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. We need some parents who will say, I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We need some young people say, I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's some of you guys who are in here dealing with some difficult circumstances. The power of God can give you the strength to overcome and to endure. The power of God can give you the strength to change the setting around you. Praise the Lord. Lord, pour out your Spirit on all of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Refreshing, refreshing.